Manx Radio's update with Dave Moore.
The time is 5 o'clock. You're listening to Manx Radio. I am Dave Moore, and this is Update. Welcome to the programme. Half an hour of the latest news in the Isle of Man, plus sport, business and travel updates, along with the newsmakers in person. Coming up, there's concern in Northern Ireland. Their fishing boats will be unable to operate in Manx waters due to new visa restrictions. As oil prices rise due to the ongoing conflict in the Middle East, we have reaction from Manx motorists about the situation. And we hear from the MHK, who raised the possibility of 20-mile-an-hour zones across the island. That's all coming up in the next 30 minutes. But first of all, the update news headlines with Amy Griffiths. Fast am I.
The Department of Infrastructure insists roadworks are coordinated after significant traffic delays around Douglas this morning. The road is currently closed between Whitehoe and the Nunnery until the 25th of March, while Manx Utilities carries out essential work. Steve called the man in line to share his experience of the drive into Douglas from the south.
It was horrendous. We weren't moving, and the queuing from B&Q Lower Roundabout, and we were queuing right back beyond the ferry bridge. That is an absolute joke.
Manx drivers seem to be accepting that higher prices at the pumps are inevitable amid the ongoing conflict in the Middle East. It's already having a marked impact on fuel costs. These motorists in Douglas have been sharing their thoughts with us.
You've got to pay for it, haven't you? So it is what it is.
The problem is, without the bus, it would really affect the car.
The new Manx youth bard is hoping to use her year in the role to promote the Manx language and culture. Matilda Watson, a student at QE2 High School, is the first candidate to ever submit all their entries in Manx.
For me, poetry is a Manx thing. It's always been in Manx. I've learnt it through Manx. Manx poems have always hit differently, and I think Manx poems are really important.
Turning to international news now, and the UK Chancellor's warning the conflict with Iran is likely to put upward pressure on inflation. The economic fallout from the US-Israeli strikes and counterattacks are being laid bare. Oil prices have seen their biggest daily spike in 6 years, sending stocks tumbling. Scotland's busiest railway station, Glasgow Central, is likely to stay shut for the next couple of days at least. It's down to a fire which tore through a neighbouring building, causing major travel disruption. And the lineup for the second series of I'm a Celebrity South Africa has been finalised. Harry Redknapp, Samo Farah, Craig Charles and Georgia Moffat are among the names returning to the jungle next month. Those are your headlines. I'll be back with the news in full at 6.
Gurumayu Amy, on to the weather. Bright in a few places at first, but generally cloudy this evening with some hill fog and patchy drizzle at times. Outbreaks of rain developing overnight as the south to southwest wind increases fresh to strong later. Minimum temperature around 6 Celsius. More outbreaks of rain and drizzle tomorrow morning, becoming mostly dry for a while in the afternoon, but then a belt of more persistent and occasionally heavier rain arrives during the evening. Top temperature around 10 Celsius, but quite windy, with a strong southwesterly, which will veer to the west or southwest and ease slightly as the rain clears overnight. Wednesday, mostly dry, bright day with sunny spells, breezy though, with a fresh to strong west or southwest wind. Maximum temperatures then around 11 Celsius, and the rain will arrive on Wednesday night and become heavy at times on Thursday with strong to gale force southwest winds.
Manx Glass and Glazing are now stocking Omnia flush sash frames. See the range at the showroom on the Stugbrough Trading Estate. You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
The decision by the Isle of Man government to ban fishing boats from other jurisdictions who have personnel working on board that don't possess Manx working visas is causing concern, especially in Northern Ireland. This will prevent most vessels from operating within the island's 12-mile zone. Now, to discuss this matter, I'm joined now by the Chief Executive of the Northern Ireland Fish Producers Organisation, Dr. Lynn Gilmore. So, first of all, Lynn, what's your concern regarding this matter?
Okay, Dave. So this is something that's cropped up quite recently, just a few weeks ago. And it's really about access of Northern Irish vessels to Manx waters. And I'd really like to start by saying that our fishermen have really been at pains to highlight to me how good relationships are with Manx fishermen. So that's the first thing I want to say, and that fishermen right around the Irish Sea Basin and further afield are colleagues and friends who've worked together over generations. The issue is that We discovered a number of weeks ago, just on the 10th of February, that our vessels did not have access to Manx water if those vessels had foreign crew involved. And this really impacts the majority of our nephrops or langoustine fleets and our scallop fleet, as up to 70% of our crew in Northern Ireland are from overseas on two different visa mechanisms that are commonly used. The first one being a transit visa, and secondly, crew on UK skilled worker visas.
Okay, so have you spoken with anyone from the Isle of Man government regarding this?
Not directly, Dave. We have reached out to the Isle of Man government, and we've requested a meeting. And I understand our department in Northern Ireland have made contact with the Isle of Man and are seeking a meeting. But we have certainly reached out and are keen to discuss this with Isle of Man government, but have not yet heard back on whether that might be possible.
This is all about working visas, isn't it? So is there a possibility that the staff on your vessels could get an Isle of Man working visa? Is that a possibility, or is that just right out of the question?
Well, the problem is, Dave, that the Isle of Man system replicates the UK system, and the people that we have working on UK skilled worker visas have already gone through a fairly arduous process and which generates a lot of cost for those vessel owners. So to go through the Isle of Man process would require them to really start all over again and generate again lots of costs that they can ill afford at the moment. And on top of that, another concern that's been raised with me is that these vessel owners have paid for licenses to actually fish in Manx waters. So our vessels pay an annual license fee to the Isle of Man. And at the minute, our vessel owners are at the point where they're considering, what do we do? Do we actually renew our license at a cost of over £400? Or do we not pay and risk losing our track record in Manx waters? So our fishermen are really in an absolute conundrum. They're trying to do the right thing, but are faced with an impossible choice. And we're not talking about one or two boats. We've estimated the number of vessels that are paying those annual licenses to fish in Manx waters. And there's at least 50 vessels involved. And some estimates are that up to 80 vessels pay this Isle of Man license fee annually.
It would seem, though, obviously, you'd like to be in Manx waters, but it's a 12-mile zone around the Isle of Man. You've got the rest of the Irish Sea to use.
Yes, indeed. But the rest of the Irish Sea is not all fishable. So the species that our vessels are catching are nephrops or langoustines and scallops. And those only live in particular areas in the Irish Sea. So it's not the entirety of the Irish Sea. And on top of that, we've lots of other spatial restrictions to deal with, as your Manx boats also will have. So there's marine protected areas in the Irish Sea, and there's extensive wind farm areas, particularly in the eastern Irish Sea, and where our vessels would have roamed in the past. There's lots of areas have become unavailable to them, and that's not good for the fishery either, because like farming, fishermen like to leave areas fallow and be able to come back to them at another point in the future, so that the seabed has a chance to recover from fishing that has taken place.
It would, from the outside, look as if the Isle of Man is just looking after itself.
I think that's a fair point for you to make, and absolutely I could see where that perspective would come from. However, going back to the point right at the start, fishermen right around the Irish Sea and further afield are our colleagues and have worked together for generations. The sea really has connected our communities. And in the past, many years ago, it was easier to go from Portavogie to Peel than to get to Belfast. So those connections are really strong, and these are shared resources as well. So, I think I can see where you're coming from with that point. But the other point I would like to make on it is that the Isle of Man, actually, by making this change, will lose the annual licence fees that, vessels from right around the UK are paying to fish in Manx waters. So there is a loss to the Isle of Man too.
That is Chief Executive of the Northern Irish Fish Producers Organisation, Dr. Lynn Gilmore. And just to let you know that Manx Radio has also reached out to the Isle of Man government about this. In fact, that was a week ago and we are still yet to hear back from them. For most of us, the first thing we currently do when we draw up to a garage to fill our cars is to glance at the advertised prices. Have they risen? We might ask ourselves. Because those prices are, of course, being influenced by events in the Middle East. But could there be a link with a local transport dispute? Here is John Moss.
It might seem strange to link the conflict in the Middle East with the current and ongoing Manx bus strike, but any additional pressure on those forced to rely more heavily on their cars could be seen as strengthening the bus crew's hand and also putting the pressure on the government and the infrastructure department to find an acceptable settlement. Of course, they don't want to set a precedent by being too generous and perhaps upping the bar for other bargaining groups. For most car drivers, while accepting there is little they can do to stop pump rises, the only way to stop paying substantially more, with the bus option missing for half the week, is to use their four-wheeled friends less. Most people are now aware that we face rises at the pumps. So, their thoughts?
You've got to pay for it, haven't you? So, it is what it is.
You'll just pay what's required of you.
If I want to drive somewhere, then I'm going to have to, aren't I?
The problem is, without the bus, it would really affect the car.
Do you use buses yourself?
Yeah, I do.
But you're filling up today?
Yeah.
And you'll be using it, I trust, carefully?
Look, it's already on a zero.
Oh, right. So, don't run out.
Yeah, please.
I'll give you a push if you don't get there.
Thank you so much.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
John Moss with that report now. Siobhan Fletcher joins me in the studio. We've had a statement from the Chief Minister, Alfred Cannon, about this matter, Siobhan?
Yeah, in the last few minutes, Chief Minister Alfred Cannon has issued a statement. He says he'll be meeting with senior ministers and officials tomorrow afternoon to discuss the emerging economic and social impacts of the current conflict taking place in the Middle East. The Chief Minister has called an extraordinary meeting of the Economic National Strategy Board to assess the potential inflationary pressures, including increases in energy prices, as we were hearing about there, as well as the potential impact on the economy more generally. The board will also discuss ramifications for the food and medicine supply chains to the island, alongside the work being done by the UK Foreign, Commonwealth and Development Office to support affected Manx citizens abroad. Mr. Cannon says the government continues to monitor the rapidly evolving situation in the Middle East, and our thoughts are with all of those caught up in this conflict. I want to reassure communities across the island that we are assessing all areas that might be impacted closer to home as the situation evolves, preparing for any potential impact in our economy, across key supply chains, on our society and on government. Mr. Cannon concludes, it's appropriate to hold an extraordinary meeting of the Economic and National Strategy Board, and this will take place tomorrow, with a series of regular dedicated meetings going forward on this topic as required. He says any further updates will be issued as appropriate.
Got to remind you, Siobhan. So we'll keep you updated with that tomorrow if we get any news here at Manx Radio. Now then, on to football. And FC Isle of Man's managers told the club board the ball is in their court following their 5-1 defeat at home to Atherton in the North West Counties Premier Division at the weekend. The team were missing a number of key players on Saturday as Rick Holden's side suffered their 19th defeat of the campaign. And the caretaker manager, who's on an interim basis, has been speaking to the club's media.
The lads that came in were there to, you know, do a job, and I had every faith in them to do well, but we started catastrophe. It was a miss hit cross, and it throws our game plan out of the window slightly, where we know we're saying, look, we're going to do this, that and the other, and suddenly we're on the back foot. And we've done it before this, where we've gone under a couple of more goals, and we're 3-0 down after 15 minutes, which is, you know, it's virtually impossible against a side that is, you know, the form team. We fought back well for the rest of the half, scored a good goal, well, a deserved goal, and then did the usual, start the second half, concede one, which is, you know, it's a problem all the way through. And then we had a period where we had about four chances where, you know, they were very good chances if you score them, and they wobbled. So, again, it was a bit like the away game, that the scorers flattered them. But, I mean, to be honest, you know, they're half-decent side, you know, I've no qualms about them. The goals they scored, apart from the fluke, you know, and they're probably, you know, if they get in the playoffs, they could well go up.
Holden explained how the club can move forward following the defeat at the weekend.
it's a no man's land sort of area we're in with, you know, we've got four home games and five away. We've nothing really to play for apart from pride. You know, the bottom two, everybody else lost as well, and the bottom two are sunk. If you look at their fixtures, they've got to play, both of them have got to play Atherton, for example. And so mathematically, we'll be safe very soon. But it's just going to be hard work to get everybody there and motivated and to see the season out. Really what the club needs to be doing, and I'm sure they're aware of it, the people upstairs, is organising for next year what they're going to do and how they're going to approach it and try and make it a better season than this. So it's the ball's in their court very much with that, and all I have to do is see if we can see the season out with some good performances and quickly overturn that one.
Manx Radio Travel, serviced by Quayside Tyres.
Well, I'm aware, as you'll, I'm certain many of you will be aware that obviously the road is closed at Whitehove. That's going to make traffic moving out of Douglas, particularly in the direction of the south, very, very slow moving indeed. Down in the south at the airport, there's a delay on the flight to Dublin. The Aer Lingus, which was due to take off now, it's now scheduled for 10 past 6. However, other airlines are looking good. Loganair's 20 to 7 flight is on time to Liverpool. EasyJet's service to Gatwick at 20 past 7 is also showing as on time. In terms of the arrivals, the Aer Lingus Dublin is due in around 25 minutes' time. It was due to land at 10 to 5. Elsewhere, Loganair is scheduled at 5 past 6 from Manchester. EasyJet Gatwick should arrive at 10 to 7. And the Loganair London City is also looking good at 10 past 8. And the final one is the Loganair service from Liverpool is due to land at 8:30.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside. Quayside, 664417. Head to Quayside Tyres and Service Centre on South Quay Industrial Estate.
Quayside. It's been almost 2 months since the rollout of 20-mile-an-hour zones in residential areas was paused. Plans to introduce more speed restrictions around schools and housing were approved in Timrald, but divided public opinion, with some concern the scheme would include too many routes. Douglas Central MHK Anne Corlett initially raised the idea of 20-mile-an-hour zones as she sought to increase road safety around schools in her constituency. While Mrs Corlett says a blanket 20-mile-an-hour speed limit was never her intention, she told Phil Gorn she's still hopeful of seeing changes in Douglas.
I have met with the new minister and the chief minister, actually, to try to get my original proposal in. They are both agreeable to that, and I'm hoping something's going to happen within the next few weeks in the area surrounding the schools in Douglas Central.
Because that effectively was what you were looking for, wasn't it? You tell us, what was it specifically that you were looking for? Because your motion has been quoted by all sides in this debate as being all things to all people, it would appear.
Absolutely. And you know from your experience, Phil, that you put a motion down and it's very hard to define it absolutely. Like many things, people will make an interpretation of that in many different ways. I've always been very clear, this is not something that I intended when I started in politics, but it's something that developed because I was getting so much noise on email and contact from constituents over speed in our area in Douglas Central. And so I picked it up from there. And my idea on that motion was to do what we needed to do around those five schools in Douglas Central and leave it open enough that if another constituency or another school area needed or wanted that, or residents wanted it, then someone else could pick that up and run with it. But to suggest that I was trying to bring a motion that gave a blanket 20 mile an hour on the Isle of Man is ridiculous. That was never my intention. And my intention now is to do what I set out to do in the first place.
The new minister seems a very pragmatic sort of a chap. I mean, you've had a meeting with him. Has he given you any indication as to what's likely to happen?
Well, I'm hoping he'll put the area that I was proposing in as a 20-mile-an-hour speed limit. Really, Phil, what you've got to think on here, every member in there voted for this. Nobody said no. On two occasions, we had an absolute majority. So, Minister for Infrastructure now voted for this motion twice. So surely he has to do something for me here.
You can hear more from Anne Corlett on tonight's episode of Agenda at 5:30.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
Later this year, there's a world record attempt for the largest Pilates class ever. It was founded here, of course, during World War I in the Isle of Man. There'll also be Ramsay Crookall in collaboration with 34 Moves are behind this. And Ramsay Crookall, Chief Executive Officer Joanna Crookall, and Ruby Griffiths, the founder of 34 Moves, spoke to Siobhan Fletcher.
We wanted to bring Pilates back to the Isle of Man and have that connection between the Isle of Man being the birthplace of Pilates. And Ruby and I were chatting in a meeting and thinking, well, how do we come about this? And I said, well, is there a world record for a Pilates class? And we Googled, and sure enough, there is a world record, which stands at 3,486 participants that was set in Turkey in 2013. And I thought, the Isle of Man can beat that. And we're used to staging the Royal Manx Show, obviously at Knock Alo, where I think we get about 10,000 people through the gates over that weekend.
That sort of amount.
So 3,486 should be a doddle. That's how it all started.
It's a doddle.
It will be.
Yeah. Well, so are you hoping then, I mean, sort of to bring yourself in here, you've got over 600 hours of Pilates training. I mean, what are the strengths then? If anyone's never done it before, why should they think of taking it up, whether as part of this event or in general?
Pilates is a low impact exercise, and it's basically a system that builds on strength, it builds on control, and it helps you live your everyday life better. So no matter what level you're at, and I think that's really important, you know, it's going to be a 30-minute class, inclusive for all levels, all abilities, all ages, and we'll make sure that it's good for everybody. And that's what Pilates is. It's made for the body in front of you.
This is good, because I've dabbled in yoga before. Not very good at it. I feel like I'm going to fall over when I'm trying to do it. So beginner level would be good with this, I think. Yeah. Obviously, like you say, you're going to be plugging this a lot in the run-up as well. But what are the key details that people need to know, like dates and things like that, and how they get involved, how they sign up?
So the date is Sunday the 19th of July. So please save the date and put that in your diaries. Holding it on a Sunday means it can be a really all-inclusive family-orientated event. You know, everybody can become a world record holder on that day. So I would encourage everyone to join in and take part. And of course, we're also supporting charities on the day and wellbeing initiatives. We've got a website where people can go on and through Eventbrite actually book tickets now already. So we'll be launching more information on that over the weeks to come. But literally that is ready and up and running now. So we've actually sold some tickets already.
You're listening to Manx Radio. This is Update. The new Manx youth bard hopes to use her year in the role to promote the Manx language and culture. Matilda Watson, a student at QE2 High School, has been talking to Phil Gorm.
I'm quite excited to be the Manx bard. I'm very excited to do more work in Manx. I think it's a great opportunity, and I think I can't wait to help others with finding Manx in other aspects of the world, especially in poetry at the minute. You know, with it being Year of the Manx, I think it's quite important to encourage that in all areas, so quite excited.
And you have unapologetically produced poems in Manx Gaelic. You don't have English alternatives.
No, for me, poetry is a Manx thing. It's always been in Manx. I've learned it through Manx. I've always appreciated the Manx poems just a little bit more. Not to say English poems are bad or anything, just Manx poems have always like hit differently, and I think Manx poems are really important.
And that's quite a statement, really, because writing poetry isn't easy in any language, and the fact that you prefer to write in Manx Gaelic tells us a lot about what Manx means to you.
Writing poems isn't easy, but it's not supposed to be easy. It's not supposed to be but it's also not supposed to be a task. It's just when you feel it, you just kind of go for it. I never really wrote poems down. They were always just kind of circling around in my head. And if I thought one was nice, I just figured, I'll write it down. I'll give being the Manx Youth Bard a go. It'll be fun. Get some people inspired, you know.
Time now for sport, brought to you by the Prince Shed. And at the sports desk tonight is Darren Timpson. Fast of mine.
Fast of mine. It was a weekend of cup knockouts, and starting in hockey, where the finals have been confirmed for the men's and ladies' cup plates and ball competitions. Valcarce will face Corsitane in the ladies' cup final after beating Harlequins 3-1 on Flix. The men's cup final sees Backers A to contend with Vikings A. Backers B will meet Valcarce B in the ladies' plate final after a 9-1 thumping over Vikings B. The men's plate final sees Backers B against Harlequins B. Viking C will face Ramsey B in the ladies' ball final, and in the men's ball, Viking C meets Backer C. On to football, and the semi-finals of the FA Cup has been confirmed after Peel, Corinthians and St Mary's progressed on Saturday. They beat Rycobb, Union Mills and Braddon respectively. Onken can then belatedly reserve their spot in the quarter-finals with a 3-2 win over Douglas Old Boys. They'll play Rushen United for a place in the final four, with the winner setting up a tie against St Mary's. That means the Canada Life Premier League's top two, Corinthians and Peel, will meet in the other semi-final. Elsewhere, Douglas Royal beat Paul Rose in the GH Corlett's Wood Cup quarter-final. They'll face Ramsey for a spot in the final, while Malou play Brown. Meanwhile, Laxey, Rushen United and Ramsey won in the Premier League, while Malou, Brown and Governors took maximum points in the Arden and Drogon Division 2. And in rugby, Douglas led a 6-point lead in the final 10-minute slip against Firwood Waterloo in the Regional 2 Northwest. The playoffs hopefuls were beaten 26-25 on Saturday. Meanwhile, Vagabonds ladies beat Bury by 54 points of the women's NC2 North South. They won 62-8. So the Nomads beat Western Vikings 41-19 in the Hartford Homes Manx Shield, and Ramsey were beaten by over 60 points in the County 3 ADM Lancashire Cheshire.
And that's it for Update for tonight. Thank you to newsreader Amy Griffiths. A reminder that Agenda is on the way after this programme at 5:30 with Phil Gorn. He'll be speaking with Douglas Central MHK and Corlett. And if you think there's a story out there Manx Radio should be covering, get in touch. newsroom@manxradio.com or even update@manxradio.com. Both will work. And don't forget, Update, along with many other quality programmes on Manx Radio, are available to download as a podcast. Just go to manxradio.com. That's it from myself for tonight. All being well, I'll be back with Update tomorrow at 5. Until then, it's bye-bye for now.
This Tuesday at 5:30 here on Manx Radio, join Kiri Kermode and myself, Simon Clark, for Countryside.
We'll be hearing from Raymond Gorn from Pool Vash Farm, talking about growing up on the farm as a youngster and also talking about Southern Young Farmers.
I speak to the CEO of Manx Wildlife Trust, Graham Makepeace Warren, to find out more about a new location for their internships when they are picked later in the year. And I went along for a skeet at the Southern Young Farmers ploughing match down the south of the island to speak to some of the people ploughing on the day and the judges.
That's all in Countryside Tuesday here on Manx Radio at 5:30. And don't forget, you can download and subscribe to the podcast for free at manxradio.com.
As a long-established firm, Mann Benham offer a comprehensive range of legal services assisting individuals and businesses, from sole traders to the island's largest employers. Mann Benham have built up a reputation for giving a fast, efficient, cost-effective service with a personal edge. From buying and selling property to drawing up leases, employment matters, contracts and more. Call Mann Benham for your free consultation on 639-350.
Mann Benham, here for you.
Oh, Jew, in 1 minute we're roasting hot in the conservatory and the next minute we're freezing cold.
Well, missus, you know how a hat keeps you cool in the summer and warm in the winter? Well, a solid conservatory roof from Spectrum Windows does the same job.
Great solution. Tell you what, Jeffrey needs a little bit of work on top. Do you think they could help him too?
Only if they've started selling wigs.
Transform your conservatory with a Guardian or Ultra Frame solid roof. Visit Spectrum Windows, the showroom, Derby Road, Ramsey, or call 817777.
Top of the Tops, brought to you by the Prince Shed. At 5 is hospitality, a wide range of aprons, kitchen uniforms and front of house clothing unique to your business. New entry at number 4 is our eco-sustainable and organic ranges. At number 3 is workwear. Be safe, be seen and get your brand recognised. Sticking at number 2, sportswear, names, numbers, sponsors, logos. We do it all. You pick the colours and we'll do the rest. And at number 1 is corporate wear, embroidered or printed, professional and stylish. Find us at theprintshedIOM.com on Facebook or at Braddon Bridge Industrial Park.
Love a proper country pub with superb food, great drinks, fantastic atmosphere and a warm welcome? Then you'll love the Ginger Hall in Sulby. From fabulous Sunday roasts and succulent steaks to pizza, chicken wraps and delicious desserts, there's something for everyone at the Ginger Hall in the pub or our restaurant. Our new menu is online and Facebook. Booking is highly recommended, so reserve your table at gingerhall.im. And why not stay over in one of our 8 en-suite hotel rooms? The Ginger Hall.